situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Astros even the World Series last night, but that may not be the biggest story surrounding the Fall Classic.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Which one of you guys have been playing I Like Candy for a freaking week?
It was your other neighbors.
Me, what? You know what? At this point, it doesn't matter because it keeps running inside my head and it won't leave unless I blow it out with a bullet.
Welcome in, October 26th, 4:05, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight with the assistance of the Aqua Teen Hunger Force, as well as producer Kyle Mann on the other side of the glass. Great show for you tonight, and plenty to get to today. We're going to be talking Minnesota and Iowa, the battle for Floyd of Rosedale coming up Saturday night at Kinnick Stadium. Randy Johnson of the Minneapolis Star Tribune will be with us at 4:30, coming up at the bottom of the hour. At 5 o'clock, we will unveil the brackets for the annual Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats, and then Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com will be with us at 5:30. Woodja is on tap at 6 o'clock tonight as well, and plenty more to get to. Lots of baseball news today. The Cardinals and the Cubs making some major coaching announcements. Joe Girardi out as manager of the Yankees. And a developing story from the world of Major League Baseball. But TMZ reporting that Houston Astros manager A.J. Hinch was reportedly in a bar altercation after Game 1 of the World Series Tuesday night in Pasadena. And we'll see. He's got his media availability coming up, I believe, within the hour. So we'll find out whether A.J. Hinch addresses the elephant in the room or not. He's got a long way to go if he wants to surpass Billy Martin in the annals of managers getting in bar fights. But this could be a little interesting nugget surrounding the World Series moving forward. The Astros, what an entertaining game last night. One of, I think, the better World Series games to watch in recent memory. Cubs games excluded, I'll take them out because obviously I can't be unbiased there. But last night you had the Dodgers failing to close out the Astros, and that bullpen has been so fantastic. And then you get the back-to-back home runs from Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve, and you think it looks like it's going to be easy going, and then the Dodgers come back again. And just the highlight of last night, though, had to have been the battle of the bat flips slash non-bat flips between Carlos Correa, who flipped his bat and stuck his tongue out a la Yasiel Puig, and then later when Puig homers, he bends over and gently sets the bat on the ground. I don't know how you can't embrace this World Series and how you can't love it, but it's tied up 1-1 going back to Houston Game 3 tomorrow night, Alex.
That game last night actually had
people
talking.
You weren't even watching.
Yeah,
you told me last night you were going to go home and you were going to DVR it.
I watched after the Blues game ended. And
it's Blues game's over, Blues and you go, I think maybe I'll care about the World Series now.
It's 3-1. And then all hell breaks loose. And everybody was watching that game, it seemed like, where I'm following on my Twitter timeline the National College Football writers, the NFL writers, the NHL writers. Everybody was watching that game, and I'm anxious to see what the ratings look like. And I think that that type of game right there was what was needed to draw people in, what was needed to have people talking about the World Series. And I think I can say pretty safely that the two best teams, and I guess you can say what you will about the Cleveland Indians or the New York Yankees, or excuse me, the Cleveland Indians, but the two best teams are in the World Series, so that can't be bad for baseball. I thought the stat that I saw last night, which amazed me, was that 17 extra inning home runs had been hit in the history of the game up until last night. 5 were hit in one night, in one game in the World Series. So It was late. It wasn't the 2 hour and 28 minute game that we saw in game one, but things are evened up. And I have a feeling we are in for a 7-game series, like what was predicted by some people, including myself, prior to the beginning of the World Series.
Joe Girardi out as manager of the Yankees today. We mentioned that. I think it's an interesting development from a number of standpoints, most importantly because that's a big-time job opening. How does it affect everything else? And it may have actual repercussions on a team that people root for here in Eastern Iowa, in the Cubs, because the Washington Nationals could take a serious long look at Joe Girardi. And they've interviewed Dave Martinez, who's the bench coach in Chicago. And perhaps the Nationals, if they're still serious about making this run, and they want to pony up the money, because I think Girardi at this point is probably pretty comfortable taking a year or two off. He talked about his kids getting older, wants to spend more time with his family. The Nationals are notoriously cheap. He doesn't necessarily have to manage next year, but if Washington is serious about continuing to compete in the National League, they're not going to do a better job than Joe Girardi, who consistently got those Yankees teams to overachieve on his watch, unfortunately falling just a game short of getting to the World Series this year, and just another reminder of how cutthroat the business of baseball is. Speaking of cutthroat, we mentioned the Cubs made a couple coaching staff changes today. Chili Davis is the new hitting coach, no longer employed by the Boston Red Sox because John Farrell was out there. He was available. Joe Maddon says this isn't about the performance of John Malley or any of the other coaches who weren't retained. It was about being able to bring in new voices to the organization. Chili Davis comes in as the hitting coach. Brian Butterfield will replace Gary Jones as third base coach. And Andy Haynes gets elevated to the number two hitting coach position to fill in for Eric Hinsky. The Cardinals today announced the hiring of Mike Maddux as pitching coach. I love this move. I think it signals that the arms race is on in the National League Central. Maddux reportedly had 6 job offers, but St. Louis was number one on his list. He wants to work with all those young arms there. Big, big day off the field for two teams who aren't playing right now, but certainly have eyes on each other in the National League Central, the Cubs and the Cardinals lining up their coaching staffs for 2018. And I am burying the lead here. It is 4:12. I mentioned it already. Coming up tonight, hour number two, it is the unveiling of the 2017 Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats. Sports Illustrated today is making this big deal about a bracket to determine the best Halloween treats. Everybody and their brother can do a bracket for the best Halloween candy, okay? We've been doing this here now for, I believe, going on 4 or 5 years. I can't really remember when this first started, but we've got, for the first time ever, play-in games. Our very own Dayton on the 2017 bracket, and you can vote until 5 o'clock to advance the worst treat in each of the 4 brackets, and then we will unveil the seedings and the brackets at 5 o'clock today. So all of you stick to sport. Kyle didn't even mention it on his... He tweets out the rundown of the show every day, and he didn't even mention the Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats, which is an affront to everything the station is about. This is bigger than high school football. This is bigger than the Hawkeyes. This is it. Eastern Iowa lives for determining whether the Bit O' Honey or Good and Plenty is the worst Halloween treat every year.
Couple of questions.
Yes.
You remember when we did the, what was it, Starch Madness?
Yes.
Is the same committee who
Were you here that day?
I was here.
Okay. I thought I did that because you weren't here.
No, that was very early on in the tenure of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. But
do you feel weird saying that, like you're referring to yourself in the third person when you mention yourself as the co-host of the show?
Not necessarily, okay. Because it is the name of the show, okay. And I got to call it by something. When you're not here, I feel really weird about calling this whatever this is. I just sort of say KGYM local programming. That's a whole different story. But the committee that chose Starch Madness, that seeded Starch Madness and released the bracket,
yes.
Is that the same committee that released the bracket for the Bad Halloween candy?
The For the most part, yes. I don't want to reveal to the listening audience exactly how this is birthed every year.
I just want to make sure it's on the up and up.
I want everybody to know this is far from just me sitting down with a pen and paper creating something. This is a number of voices coming together with a number of varying opinions about bad treats, and you're going to want to use the Hertin and Stocker text line to participate as we winnow the field. But here now are the play-in games, and these have been available for the last couple hours on my Twitter feed, at Todd Brommelkamp, so you can go there and vote. And then remember, it's important to remind you, you are voting on which candy is worse. So you're not voting on which you like, you're voting on which you don't like. But the brackets, the play-in games, the Dayton games, if you will, the chocolate region features the Butterfinger bar, which I don't think should even be in the field, but it was suggested by somebody on the text line yesterday. So the Butterfinger bar is going to have to play its way into the field against foil-wrapped chocolates. And by foil-wrapped chocolates, I'm talking about you get the generic, it's either got a black cat on the outside of it or a pumpkin jack-o'-lantern, something, you know, it's a Halloween candy, maybe it's in a fun mix or whatever. That's what we're talking about here. So Butterfinger bars against generic foil-wrapped chocolates.
The off-brand, not the real fancy kind of foil.
It can be anything.
Oh.
It can be anything. Now, you're going to question hearing foil-wrapped candy in the chocolate region because there is a wrapped candy region. This is the first time in the history of this, by the way, that I have the committee has taken the time to actually name and put candies in the correct regions. We never had names for the regions, and it was scattergun, willy-nilly. This time, the committee, sat down and said, we're actually going to put some thought into doing this year. In the wrapped candy division, bubblegum is taking on suckers. And for the purpose of the bracket, we're keeping it generic, but I'm thinking bubblegum, it was always double bubble, right? You always had half a pillowcase full of double bubble, and then the suckers, think along the lines of dum-dums, but I don't want to disparage or leave out any of the other suckers. So those two are going at it in the wrapped candy bracket. And then in the sugary division, Smarties, which is traditionally a power in the Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats, people really hate Smarties. Smarties is going to have to play its way into the field this year by defeating, and I think I have stumbled upon, the committee has ferreted out a sleeper this year, butterscotch discs.
I'm a fan.
You're a fan of, like, Werther's Original. These are the butterscotch discs, which are Big Bird yellow and in the clear cellophane. You like those.
I don't mind them. I'm not going to say they're my favorite candy, but between them and Smarties, I think I know which one I'm voting for. I do not like Smarties.
Again, the voting availability is at Twitter, at Todd Brommelkamp. And then finally, in the Chewy bracket, the Chewy region, we have a showdown for the ages. Some would argue that this could be an Elite Eight Final Four pairing. Unfortunately, these two, one of them won't even make it into the field. Well, now there's the argument. Do the play-in games get you in the field, or are you already in the tournament just by being in the play-in games? Milk Duds, which I have had a long-running war against ever since I worked in a movie theater when I was in high school, because there is nothing worse than having to scrape Milk Duds off the floor after they've been smashed into the linoleum. Milk Duds, my mortal enemy as a theater worker, taking on another candy that was terrible to clean up, Dots. Dots and
those
Milk Duds is that's
bad.
That's Kentucky Duke.
I think
right
that's,
there, and that's a matchup to get a four seed in the Chewy division.
I'd almost say that's a Kentucky Wichita State. These past couple of years,
well, who's
we
which? Which is
too,
which one's Wichita State and which one's Kentucky?
I don't know which one. I'd say Milk Duds, Kentucky, Dots, Wichita State.
So Milk Duds will be vacating if it wins the tournament. Now remember, next Tuesday, we're going to have we confirmed that Juan is available?
I don't think we've confirmed that, but we're
okay. Well, we're going to call it Hello Juan, and then if it falls through, I'm just going to lose my mind and blame somebody for submarining this.
Sounds good.
Okay, there
works
we go.
Works for me.
I'll have an on-air breakdown, just like AJ Hinch reportedly had a breakdown at the hotel bar and got into it after Game 1 of the World Series. We're going to have Juan, hopefully, fingers crossed, asterisk, subject to appearance. He may change. It may be somebody else out there. Somebody will be on the front lawn of the KGYM station Tuesday night handing out whatever wins the Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats.
49.75. You just blew my mind. And we have a little bit of a conundrum here.
Okay, what is it?
So do you know how you have suckers going up against bubblegum in the first round?
Mm-hmm.
What about a blow pop?
A blow pop is a sucker. You have to get through the sucker to get to the bubblegum.
Glad we got the ruling.
Yeah. No, that's... There's no ruling to take into place there. A bubble gum, the blow pop is a sucker first. Bubble gum is just the treat on the inside, and that would mean a Tootsie Pop would also qualify as a sucker. But for the purpose of the bracket, we'll keep it generic. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertin and Stocker text line. You can find our friends at Hertin and Stocker at 101 South Dubuque Street in downtown Iowa City, celebrating 70 years in business. Probably a good time to remind you that not only is Halloween right around the corner, but Christmas is too, and you may want to do some of your shopping for a significant other or an important person in your life by looking inside those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker. So the AJ Hinch story is pretty vague at this point. But according to TMZ, Tuesday night after Game 1 of the World Series, A.J. Hinch was at the Astros team hotel, which is somewhere in Pasadena, and he is at the hotel bar, as baseball managers sometimes do, drinking, blowing off some steam, holding court with his buddies, who knows, the rest of the coaching staff, again, details very vague, when some Dodgers fans come in and begin talking smack about the Astros. Dodgers behind the pitching of Clayton Kershaw won Game 1 Tuesday night 3-1, if you were unaware. And A.J. Hinch reportedly, quote-unquote, snapped, according to TMZ sources, and got into an altercation. There was yelling, there was swearing. It's not quite clear whether there was any physical contact, a.k.a. punches being thrown, but the police were reportedly brought in to separate Hinch from the fans that were talking smack about the Astros. And this is just now being reported. And Game 2 was last night. The Astros have evened the series. And today they're heading back to Houston. Game 3 will be played tomorrow. What do you think A.J. Hinch says, if anything, about this?
Probably not much. I bet he doesn't even back off of it. You're in your hotel lobby or your hotel bar. That should be somewhat of a safe space for a manager, yet it wasn't. And I think we've seen that. Let's just say this hasn't been a great first couple of games of the World Series for Dodgers fans.
You know, you had the idiot last night who jumped into the Astros bullpen.
Right into the security guards. And he didn't even touch the ground.
Basically jumped straight into a chokehold.
Oh. And I've told this story a couple of times, but I've heard a lot of horror stories about Dodger Stadium. I had a friend go to Game 2 of the NLCS a couple years ago when the Cardinals were playing the Dodgers, and it got so bad, he's a Cardinals fan, it got so bad that he needed two or three police sitting around him because they worried about his safety. I don't know. I want to see what happened. I'm sure there's a tape. TMZ always finds a tape.
It's a hotel. They get security footage.
There's going to be footage.
They'll get their hands on it. We've got at least one person on the text line right now, 1307, ordering my A.J. Hinch Astros jersey now. Again, he's got a long way to go before he's in the ranks of Billy Martin, who at one point in time, I believe it was 1979, punched out a marshmallow salesman, and that was what precipitated Martin losing his job with the Yankees for, I believe that would have been the second time, if my Billy Martin timeline is correct in my head, although he was hired and fired so many times by George Steinbrenner that it's impossible to pinpoint, but Martin got into it with a marshmallow salesman at one point in time, and I don't think it ended very well for the marshmallow salesman. 425, by the way, as if you already didn't have enough to live for with the tournament of bad Halloween treats tonight, courtesy of Dave Kaplan in Chicago, ESPN 1000, I have perhaps one of the greatest would you questions ever for Alex and Kyle tonight at 6 o'clock, and it involves going to the bathroom, and I will leave it at that.
I've seen it, so I've had time to formulate.
That's BS, man. You can't.
I just have to admit it. I'm going to come clean. You said that you responded to it on Twitter.
Okay, so you at least have an idea of what it's going to be.
Oh,
so one of the greatest would you questions ever, and certainly the best would you question to ever incorporate a man's bathroom habits, coming up tonight at 6 o'clock. So we've got bathroom habits, we've got candy, we've got managers getting into fights, and we've got Floyd of Rosedale talk coming up at the bottom of the hour with a guy named Randy Johnson in the middle of the World Series. I don't know how you could possibly top this, but good luck trying if you've got a radio show that talks about sports and other things in Eastern Iowa. I think I've got the market cornered on abject absurdity today. 426, we'll step aside and take a quick timeout. Kyle's going to come in here. He's going to tell you all about what's going on in the world of sports, including who the honorary captain will be for this weekend's battle between Iowa and Minnesota. Back with more after this.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the Pet Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. Stop in and congratulate Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate on 70 years in business. One of them is always there.
The Cubs will have a new hitting coach to go with a new pitching coach in 2018. The team announced today that John Malley's contract wasn't renewed for next season and that he'd be replaced by former big leaguer Chili Davis. Davis, who made his professional debut in Cedar Rapids in 1978, had served as Boston's hitting coach since 2015. He's also held that role with Oakland. The Cubs have yet to hire a pitching coach, but all signs still point to Madden's former coach in Tampa, Jim Hickey, joining the staff. Also announced today, the hiring of another former Red Sox coach, Brian Butterfield, as third base coach. He'll replace Gary Jones. Andy Haynes will serve as the team's assistant hitting coach. He replaces Eric Hinsky, who was hired earlier this week by the Angels. Madden said Thursday he likes the idea of new voices joining the organization.
Conventional wisdom may tell you that a local community bank doesn't have the resources to keep up with the big banks. That's not true at Midwest One Bank. From mobile banking to text alerts to pop money person-to-person payments, Midwest One can meet your needs. Enjoy the convenience of opening your account online at MidwestOne.com and the peace of mind knowing you can speak with a banker at a local Midwest One Bank whenever you need them. It's high tech and high touch at Midwest One, where you're the one. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
Sunday, the Atlanta Falcons and New York Jets meet in an interconference showdown. Hi, this is Scott Graham of Westwood One. Join John Sadak and Ross Tucker from MetLife Stadium for all the action. The Falcons are hoping to end a three-game skid, but they'll have to beat a Jets team that has proven they are no pushover. Falcons, Jets. If it's the NFL, it's right here.
NFL football, the Falcons and the Jets, Sunday at 11:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM, presented by Mediacom.
Just to give you an idea of what's going on Twitter right now, Butterfingers is beating out foil-wrapped chocolates 63-37 percentage-wise. Suckers currently in the lead over bubblegum. Smarties is beating butterscotch discs. And Milk Duds is locked in a very, very close battle. We're talking Clinton-Trump-esque, 52% to 48%. There is no electoral college here. But Milk Duds is currently beating Dots in the chewy candy division. And there seems to be some misunderstanding here. We have some first-time listeners to the program. You are voting for the worst candy between the two, not your favorites. We're voting for the worst candy so that we can determine what the worst candy to hand out next Tuesday on the front lawn will be. 319-366-1600. Let's bring in Kyle. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Big 12 released its 2018 football schedule today, and let's just say that Iowa State is going to have to get off to a fast start. They'll open the season hosting South Dakota State, followed by Iowa, and round out the non-conference schedule with Akron. But the Cyclones' first four conference games will be against the four other Big 12 teams currently ranked in the top 25, hosting Oklahoma and West Virginia and traveling to TCU and Oklahoma State. Matt Campbell also hinted yesterday that Johnny Lang and Matt Leo could both be candidates for medical red shirts. Iowa head coach Fran McCaffrey and his wife Margaret hosted the Hawkeye basketball tip-off party last night to raise money for the adolescent and young adult cancer program at University Hospitals. They were joined by former Marquette and Indiana head coach Tom Crean. McCaffrey and his team will host an exhibition with William Jewell tomorrow night. It's the postseason for high school football teams here in Iowa, and today the Gazette published their predictions for how that's going to play out. West Des Moines Dowling was a unanimous pick to win the Class 4A title over Iowa City West. Solon was the popular pick in Class 3A, and one interesting number on that Solon team, that defense has given up only three touchdowns this season and scored six of its own. Mount Vernon got one vote in Class 2A, and Iowa City Regina one vote in Class 1A. Tonight after the show, it's the Dolphins in Baltimore facing the Ravens on Thursday Night Football. Kickoff set for 7:25, but we'll have the coverage right after we're off the air on all three KGYM frequencies.
We're going to head to a bottom of the hour Sports Center update, which is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 14 years of service. Randy Johnson of the Minneapolis Star Tribune is next.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Joe Girardi is done as manager of the Yankees. ESPN's Buster Olney reports GM Brian Cashman recommended the Yankees owner Hal Steinbrenner that the team should make a change. Girardi managed the team for 10 years, going to the postseason six times, including winning the 2009 World Series. This year, the Yankees lost to the Astros in the seventh game of the ALCS. The Indians hire Carl Willis as their new pitching coach. He spent the last 2 years with the Red Sox. This will be his second stint in Cleveland. Patriots linebacker Dante Hightower is meeting today with Dr. James Andrews, but there are multiple reports now that Hightower will miss the rest of the season with a torn pectoral muscle. He's in the first year of a new four-year, $43 million contract. The Cardinals put quarterback Carson Palmer on IR today with a broken left arm. The earliest he could come back is Week 16 against the Giants. College football tonight at 9 Eastern on ESPN. Stanford at Oregon State. Cardinal running back Bryce Love, a game-time decision with a sore ankle.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you three. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Three ways you could save 15% or more.
Hey pros, from property updates to new construction, Lowe's makes it easy to save during our Ready to Refresh event. Get up to 30% off appliance special values, including great brands like GE. That's up to 30% off washers, dryers, refrigerators, and more. And knock new doors off your list with up to 10% off select in-stock Therma-Tru entry doors. For details, see lowesforpros.com or stop by the Pro Desk at your nearest Lowe's. Appliance offer valid 9/28 through 10/31. Door offer valid 10/23 through 11/3. Selection varies by store, U.S. only.
DirecTV has been rated number one in customer satisfaction over cable for 17 years running. But some people still like cable, just like some people like being crushed by a massive linebacker.
Thanks!
Shanking the game-winning field goal.
Yes, I missed!
Finding hair in their nachos.
Tastes better.
And getting snapped with a wet towel in the locker room.
Ow!
fun.
For everyone else, there's DirecTV. For number one rated customer satisfaction over cable, switch to DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
As compared to other major subscription TV cable providers, claim based on 2001 to 2017 ACSI surveys of customers rating their own TV provider's performance.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Buying a business trip at Upside.com is not just a win, it's a triple win. They have the best available prices for flights, hotels, and rental cars while rewarding you with a gift card to places like Amazon.com every time you buy a business trip. And Upside offers amazing six-star treatment from their customer service specialists. Their navigators are instantly accessible 24/7 on the Upside app. And right now, when you buy your next business trip at Upside.com and use code BOMANI, you'll get a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com. Upside.com, you deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want candy, bubblegum and taffy. Skip to the sweet shop with my sweetheart Sandy. Got my penny saved, so I'm a sugar daddy. I'm a Hugh Cronin, she my Jessica Tandy. I want candy.
Back to the Todd Bravo Cam Show, right here on KGYM.
Yeah, good luck getting that out of your head for the rest of the day. 4:36, welcome back in the Todd Bravo Cam Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Thursday Night Football on the horizon. You got the Dolphins and the Ravens on tap tonight as another week of NFL action kicks off. Voting continuing on my Twitter feed for the play-in games in the 2017 Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats. Plenty more to get to today. Hour number two, Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com set to join the program. We've got Woodja in the third and final hour as well. And your text and phone calls, 319-366-1600. Battle for Floyd of Rosedale on tap at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. And joining us now from the Star Tribune in the Twin Cities, it's Randy Johnson. He covers the Gophers. And what's all of this stuff about respect between Minnesota and Iowa? This is supposed to be hate week, Randy.
Oh, that was pretty much early in the week. I think once the players got talking a little bit, you saw a little bit more of the fire.
Well, let's talk about that, because these are two teams that haven't exactly set the Big Ten West on fire this year, but something's got to give when they meet Saturday night at Kinnick Stadium.
Yeah, I think you're looking at the Gophers program that is in a kind of a rebuilding stage under P.J. Fleck. He's instituting his system, and it's might be a situation where you take a step back to go a couple forward.
Has the quarterback position been the main source of inconsistency on the offensive side of the football?
Yeah, it has. Basically, it came into the season with two pretty inexperienced quarterbacks and a fifth-year senior, Connor Rota, who had only started one game, and then a redshirt sophomore, Demery Croft, who had not had a start at all. And it's played itself out that way. They've struggled at times. They've been okay at times, but mainly lately struggled.
What are the chances we see both of those guys Saturday night?
I think there's a decent chance that I'm guessing that Croft will start again. P.J. Fleck didn't come out and name him the starter, but indications are that way. Though I would not be surprised if you saw Connor Rota for a series or two here and there.
Randy, kind of talking about the Hawkeyes coming into the season, you knew that they were going to have at least try to form their identity around running the football, and I think it was a similar situation for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. My question is, going back to the fact that the passing game has been so inconsistent, is it hurting the running game at all?
It has. There's been times where teams have stacked eight in the box against them. If you can't have much of a passing threat, teams don't have to account for it as much. They've opened things up a little bit. They've done a few more jet sweep action type things. And now they have got a little bit of a change of pace back, more of a bruiser now in Kobe McCrary. So they do have three good backs. It's just a matter of being able to open things up a little bit for them so they can get a little space in there.
Do you get the sense that with the forecast, what it is for Saturday night, that whoever does a better job of controlling the ground game and not turning the ball over is going to win this?
Yeah, I think so. That's pretty much Minnesota's way to win games this year. That in their four wins, it's the deal where they've held the ball, they've kept the opponent's offense on the sideline. That helps out their defense quite a bit. It's that's their one main formula to win games.
Is there a chance that we could see? Or I guess my question: you brought up Kobe McCrary. The we knew about Rodney Smith. We knew about Shannon Brooks, and there have been some injuries at that running back position. Assuming all three of those guys are healthy, how can Kirk Ciaroka, the offensive coordinator, kind of use those three to his advantage?
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a challenge. I think he's probably going to end up playing the hot hand the most. Last week, that turned out to be Kobe McCrary. He had a big physical play against Illinois, and that kind of wore the Illini down in the second half.
Talking Gopher football with Randy Johnson from the Minneapolis Star Tribune here on a Thursday edition of the Todd Brommel Camp Show. I heard a rumor that perhaps the locker room got redecorated this week in the Twin Cities. Can you fill us in on the details there?
Yeah, I didn't see it, but evidently it was adorned with some pink banners and streamers and such. It sounded like they're trying to get a taste of Kinnick up here.
Now, P.J. Fleck's a guy who's pretty familiar with Iowa. He played against the Hawkeyes and Kirk Ferentz when he was at Northern Illinois playing for Joe Novak. He has coached against him at Western Michigan. What did he have to say about Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes this week?
He was pretty complimentary. I think the program and the consistency that Iowa has is something he strives for at Minnesota. He'd love to have that type of coaching stability and, that type, being in a place that long and all the advantages that you gain from that.
How is kind of the entire show, both literally and figuratively, around P.J. Fleck been received in his first year, combined with just a little bit of a slow start in the Big Ten play?
I kind of call it fans are curious and cautious, kind of a mix there. They're not used to somebody who is as talkative as PJ. He's selling his program a lot. I think you have to do that for recruiting purposes. I think people are kind of in a wait and see mode. I know a lot of fans are a bit disappointed with Maryland and Purdue losses, especially the Maryland game, the home game. They were like about a 13-point favorite, which I think that line was a little bit out of whack, but I think it dampened a little bit of the enthusiasm for this season.
What's it been like working with and covering P.J. Fleck from a beat writer's standpoint? How's he to deal with?
Well, he's pretty good to deal with. He'll fill your notebook, that's for sure. He talks a lot. He'll answer your questions. He's a little tight on injury situations. Doesn't talk a whole lot about that. But overall, I think he's been pretty good to deal with.
How has this team been from a defensive standpoint this season?
Kind of up and down. They've been decent when they get support from the offense and don't have to be on the field all the time. One big problem they've had is in the secondary. They've gone through a lot of players with injuries and a suspension. They lost their best defense player, Antoine Winfield Jr., to a He re-aggravated hamstring against Maryland, and he's been out since. And that's really affected the defense, especially in the run game. Michigan State tore him up pretty good in the run game, and that's a situation where they've adjusted a bit, and they've gotten a little bit better on that. They were decent against Illinois. That might have to do a bit more with the opponent, too. But it's kind of a work in progress right now.
What's your gut feeling for Saturday night as far as scoring goes? First team to 17, first team to 20 wins?
Yeah, I'd say something like that. I picked 20, Iowa 20, Minnesota 10. I just think that Iowa has a little bit too much on defense for Minnesota's offense to handle, especially with Josie Jewell being back. I guess so much has to go Minnesota's way on offense for them to pull an upset, I would say.
I want to circle back around offensively for just a second. A guy that doesn't get talked about a ton because of the lack of consistency in the passing game is Tyler Johnson, the wide receiver. What has made him such a difficult matchup for opposing teams?
I think he's shifty. He's able to find open spots. You know, he's not a blazer speed-wise, but he's fast enough. And he has really good rapport with both of the quarterbacks this year. He's the one that gets open.
Randy, we appreciate the time. Safe travels south. It sounds like the weather could be a little dicey on Saturday. We don't know yet, but we'll see you at Kinnick Stadium.
Okay, thank you.
Randy Johnson, the beat writer for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and the Gophers coming loaded for not bear, but for bacon on Saturday. The annual battle for Floyd of Rosedale, Iowa's won the last couple meetings, and the favorite by about a touchdown as weather. I think we're going to dodge the snow.
I really hope so.
From the sound of it. My wife is very concerned about getting the yard mowed one last time and some of the leaves taken care of before any of the white stuff falls here in eastern Iowa, but we'll see whether or not we can get that to happen or not.
See, if it snows, I'm pretty sure that is contradicting my statement that Christmas is not right around the corner.
See?
But if it doesn't snow, I can still cling to that argument.
You can.
If it snows, all bets are off.
See, Halloween is here because it's next week. That's not right around the corner. Then you can, if you want to cling to any arguments, you can make the argument that Thanksgiving is standing in the way of Christmas. Although, I got bad news for you. I got home last night, and I get the mail on the way in because sometimes my wife just doesn't even think about getting it on the way home from her work. I reached in the mailbox last night. It's full. I'm pulling it out. I'm going, okay, new issue of Baseball America, Mid-American Bill. Last night, the arrival of the Toys R Us catalog,
yeah,
which means, sorry, Alex, Christmas is indeed right around the corner.
They don't send that out in like July?
No.
I figure it just gets a month earlier
just in
every
case
year.
You're thinking of skating by here on a technicality, the color scheme for the catalog is red and green, which are traditionally colors associated not with Thanksgiving, not with Halloween, but Christmas. So Christmas is right around the corner. This is not the time nor place for petty arguments, though. This is the happiest day of the year on KGYM because it's something that a lot of listeners look forward to every year. It is the kickoff of the Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats, and coming up in just about 15 minutes, we are going to do a full unveiling, much like on CBS every year, of the bracket, what it will look like, and the voting procedures as we go work our way through the field of, I believe if I did my math right here, we have 20 candies because of the Dayton play-in games. And again, you can vote on those first four matchups on my Twitter, at Todd Brommelkamp, and 5 o'clock is going to be the cutoff. I think, what do we say, Butterfingers, Suckers, Smarties and Milk Duds were in the lead the last time that we checked. So if you want to get in now, unfortunately, Twitter may actually be harder to vote on than actually in real life, because once you've cast a vote, you're done. There's no stuffing the ballot box. I guess you could pick up the phone and call your friends or direct message them and point them in the direction of the voting, but it's one human, one vote. Unless, I guess, it's a Twitter account set up for a dog or a cartoon character. So I don't know. I don't judge. But one vote per account, and we'll see who advances. Now, there are going to be 4 seeds in their pods, depending on what bracket they're in. And so that means they're going to get a number one seed matchup right out of the gate. So, again, the quote-unquote winner of the bracket, which is really the loser, the worst Halloween candy that you could possibly hand out, will be handed out on the KGYM lawn next Tuesday night by Juan for Halloween, asterisk, Juan subject to appear, schedule may change, we could possibly have some other intern out there. Although, if you didn't know what Juan looked like, we could put anybody out there and just say it was Juan.
Oh, but you just let that secret out. Oh.
What secret? I don't let anything out.
See, we could have just talked about that behind the scenes. Oh, we'll just put somebody out there, say it's Juan. But now people are going to be suspicious.
No. This is all above board here. There's nothing to be suspicious of whatsoever.
I'm glad Good and Plenty's didn't make the list, because if Good and Plenty's are on the tournament of bad Halloween treats, they're going to win, and I just can't imagine people driving out of their way on Halloween, which would be next Tuesday night, to pick up their share of Good and Plenty's.
Sometimes I question the direction of what I'm trying to do here in the afternoon program, and I look at the text line and I see a ton of people talking about, you know, the high school football classification story that the gym class was talking about earlier today. And I go, man, I don't get this job. I just don't get it. And then I look at the text line here. We have people way more engaged in the candies. And I'll give you an example here. $39.98. Smarties are not that bad, but appropriate play-in team. If you can form a hot opinion on candy, then today is the show for you. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker text line. We're going to put it to use moving forward as we continue to work our way through the tournament. But coming up in just a little over 10 minutes, we will have the formal unveiling of this year's Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats. The committee has never put this much effort into putting teams into brackets that are appropriate to what type of candy they are. I don't think the committee has even ever named the regions before. It's just been a bracket. This is about as professional as you can possibly get, and that's the first time that that word has ever been associated with this program. 4:52, quick timeout. When we come back, we've got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update on the way. More sports talk to come. Brent Bloom, CycloneFanatic.com, at the bottom of hour number two. A bathroom-related woodja for the ages at 6 o'clock tonight. And maybe, just maybe, more details will emerge about the bar fight involving Astros manager A.J. Hinch, which reportedly took place after Game 1 of the World Series in L.A. on Tuesday night. Back with more after this.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier football team ended their regular season with a perfect 9-0. The Class 3A number one rated Saints defeated South Tama 62-7 last Friday. The Saints jumped out to an early lead and never looked back, scoring on offense, defense, and special teams. Gabe Lux ran back two punts for scores, Justin Schneider had a fumble return for a score, and Patrick Chambers ran for 108 yards and a touchdown. Xavier will host Oskaloosa in the Class 3A first-round playoff game this Friday night at Saints Field beginning at 7. The Xavier volleyball team defeated Mount Pleasant 3-0 in a Class 4A regional semifinal on Tuesday. The number one rated Saints upped their record to 30-9 for the season and will host Fort Madison next Monday night at 7 for a berth in the state volleyball tournament here in Cedar Rapids.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company, family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Along with the crunch of leaves underfoot and the scent of smoke wisping from the chimneys, fall brings with it a sense of tradition. The certain sound of chattering children in costume on Halloween, or the gathering round the table for a magnificent turkey dinner. There are things you can count on year after year. That's what fall means to the Dickens family. Since the 1940s, they've run Hertin and Stocker as a family business, true to the classic fine jewelry store. Though it may be surprising in these modern times, they still offer a layaway program. Put down some money and pay each month until you're ready to take your piece home. Of course, it's interest-free. During the fall, as you enjoy your family's traditions and begin holiday shopping, walk by and see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington, in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and equal housing lender.
Welcome back in. I am in an exchange on the text line right now with somebody asking whether or not raisins made the field. And at the risk of giving away the unveiling of the bracket coming up in the top of hour number two, raisins were the first team out.
Raisins count as a candy?
Well, it's technically the Tournament of Bad Treats.
Okay, that's true.
So yeah, I did call them, I referred to raisins as a candy, but with finger quotations around them. Raisins were the last team under consideration, and we needed a compelling matchup with Milk Duds, and so Dots took the spot of Raisins. Raisins will head to the NIT of Bad Treats. I almost said the NIT tournament, which would have been one of my biggest pet peeves because the T stands for tournament. 4:55, just enough time to send it over to Kyle Mann. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One has over 40 locations across the corridor for all your banking needs.
The Big 12 released its 2018 football schedule today, and let's just say that Iowa State's going to have to get off to a fast start. They'll open the season hosting South Dakota State, followed by Iowa, and round out the non-conference schedule with Akron. But the Cyclones' first four conference games will be against the four other Big 12 teams currently ranked in the top 25. They'll host Oklahoma and West Virginia and travel to TCU and Oklahoma State. Matt Campbell also hinted yesterday that Johnny Lang and Matt Leo could both be candidates for medical redshirts. The Iowa football team announced today that former D-lineman Jerry Montgomery would serve as honorary captain for this weekend's game against Minnesota. Montgomery played at Iowa from 1998 to 2001. And former Linmar Lion Marcus Page made his NBA debut last night in the Hornets' 17-point victory over the Nuggets. He played 3 minutes and got 2 rebounds. Iowa head coach Fran McCaffrey and his wife Margaret hosted the Hawkeye basketball tip-off party last night to raise money for the Adolescent and Young Adult Cancer Program at the University Hospital. They were joined by former Marquette and Indiana head coach Tom Crean. McCaffrey and his team will host an exhibition with William Jewell tomorrow night. Tonight after the show, it's the Dolphins in Baltimore facing the Ravens on Thursday Night Football. Kickoff is set for 7:25, but we'll have the coverage right after we're off the air on all three KGYM frequencies.
No Jay Cutler tonight for the Dolphins. He's got that rib injury. We'll see how things play out there. 319-366-1600. It is the Hertin and Stocker text line, and it's going to be busy as we anticipate a flood of feedback with the unveiling of this year's 2017 Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats. The bracket is in hand. The seeds have been assigned, and we will announce who advanced out of the Dayton play-in games to get into the field. A debate for the ages to come. Hour number two is on the way after this. The Todd Brommelkamp Show on KGYM.